X-Men Season 2, Episode 9, Stranded.
Four hours ago.
This way. Jean will be here soon. We want to be out in the open when she comes.
Right behind you!
Summers, we got a problem. I can't move.
I am unable to move also.
Oh no.
Cyclops doesn't have a chance to call out before Wolverine and Colossus are sent flying and into a trailer behind him.
You!
Banshee taking a run up to head skyward, Storm having trouble catching the wind without her cape. But both suffer the same fate as large metal objects strike them, wrap around them, and then throw them into the trailer as well. Cyclops, meanwhile, tries firing at whatever moves, unable to see the target until it's too late.
This one isn't a fake. Where are you?
Scott looks up, seeing a shadowed figure in the sky, the white glowing eyes narrowing as its raised arm clenches an outstretched hand. Cyclops fires again, but misses, due to being hit with and sent flying by a vehicle door. Tumbling forward into the trailer with his allies. He rises, dazed, but doing his best to concentrate, trying to contact Xavier. He doesn't get a chance. A piece of the fittings breaks off and slams into his skull. The floor rushes up to meet him as everything fades to black. Now, the man called Cyclops groans as his senses return, focusing on the world around him. He then notices the sound of rumbling.
What?
Glad you could join us, Cyclops.
You.
Scott tries to move with a start, but is pulled back by restraints.
Same old tricks, huh, Magneto?
Not really. You see, this time you won't get a choice. No chance to save yourself by joining me. No. This time is the last.
You had us beat before and you left. Why come back for us now?
Because, my young friend, I thought that proving I could beat you was enough. That sending that message back to Charles, humiliating him, would satisfy me. But it didn't. Now I get the best of both worlds. Now he knows who it is that will finally beat him, and he will never get in my way again. Perhaps in time he will even be convinced to join me.
You're insane.
I'm insane. Tell me, Scott, which one of us joined a school as a student and now finds himself putting his life on the line day after day for another man's cause? At least I know what I'm fighting for. You're all just a bunch of misfits with nowhere else to go.
God, you really like the sound of your own voice, don't you?
And who might you be? Oh, yes. The man I tossed around like a basketball when last we met.
Wolverine grunts and strains as his claws begin to extend, his arms moving so as to point them up into his own jaw.
My, my. Charles does like picking up his strays.
Do it! I'll survive. But you won't when I get up and drive him through that space helmet of yours.
Ah, you heal. Yes, I've heard about you. The man without a true name. Save one. Weapon X. No. No, I won't do that. I'll just bury you with the rest of them. See if you come back from that.
Where are we? On your asteroid?
Dear boy, Why would I risk taking you to my base when I can just break off a piece? You hear that noise? That is the sound of this large piece of rock being allowed to be caught again in Earth's gravity. Assuming you survive re-entry, which I very much doubt, you will find yourself falling towards the Earth in 50 tons of hollow rock. Do you get the idea?
You madman! You'll change the face of half the Earth!
Oh no, Blue Demon. No one else dies today. Just you. You see, you are not hurtling towards the ground. I'm aiming you directly for Mount Erebus, a volcano.
Why bother? Why not just kill us back at the park?
Because I want you to suffer, like I have suffered. I want you to feel death coming for you. I want you to know true terror, true pain, as the flesh burns from your bones. I want Charles to hear you scream from all the way across the world. I want that to haunt him for all of his remaining years. Unless you want to beg for a quick death now?
Go to hell.
Oh no, Cyclops. You're the ones going to burn today.
Magneto is rocked as the rock face crashes in, a blazing fire sending him flying across the room. He stands with a grimace, his red outfit scorched.
Did I hear someone say burn?
Magneto sneers and then yells, pushing off with a repelling force to drive himself towards Phoenix, the two heading out into the open sky. As the battle rages, Cyclops now looks over to Kurt and nods. In a puff of smoke, Nightcrawler is gone from his restraints and appears in the center of the room. He then teleports back again to hang above Cyclops' binds and works to undo them.
Kurt, use my lockpicks.
I would, Aurora, if these things had locks.
Hurry, Kurt.
What do you think I'm doing?
Across from him, Colossus now transforms into his metal form, groaning as he powers out from beneath his own bindings. Then, heading over and pulling off those of Wolverines and Storms. He then walks over to Cyclops to do the same.
No, I got this. See?
Meanwhile, outside, the Phoenix is proving to be too much for even Magneto to handle.
Enough of this! You are powerful now, girl, but you are too late. Your friends are already dead.
Magneto throws up a balled fist, using it to repel Jean with his own magnetic fields, then propel himself upwards and out of sight. Phoenix rises to follow him, but then stops, looking down towards the hurtling asteroid in which the X-Men reside.
Yeah, you better run.
Before propelling herself at top speed towards the falling chunk of Earth, but before she can reach it, she notices figures coming from the self-made entrance. The X-Men. Storm carrying Peter, Banshee carrying Wolverine, and Kurt looking down to the safety of the white snow below, and then teleporting himself in three separate stages to the ground. She does not follow, instead flying toward the crashing asteroid, reaching it almost as it has entered the volcano peak, and then using all of her cosmic strength to catch the thing with her mind, then straining as she lifts it up out of the volcano and gradually lowers it to Earth, placing it safely on the ground as though a new mountain, and exhaling when finally she can release. Phoenix then flies herself to the ground and to her friends. She lands beside them, breathing heavily and falling to her knees from fatigue. Cyclops, seeing this, rushes over to grab her.
Jean, are you okay?
I'm weak. I'm a Kron crystal. These endless battles. Magneto. Even the Phoenix is finite, Scott.
You need to rest.
No. No, that won't do. I need to feed.
Feed? On what?
The only thing that will have enough power. The sun.
Come again.
The Phoenix is a life force. Stars are the very nucleus of life as we know it.
You're going to feed on the sun?
Only enough to recharge me to what I was. But not enough to dim its lifespan. No one will notice.
There are times I forget we fight with a god.
Can you even make the trip?
I'll manage.
What about us? We sure as hell won't. Starting to regret choosing an outfit without sleeves.
Yes. I am not dressed for this weather myself.
Can you not just change it?
My power is not that great, Kurt.
My metal form insulates me from the cold. It is how I survived so many Siberian winter treks.
Well, whoopee for you. Care to spare that costume of yours for the rest of us, seeing as how you don't need it?
My blue fur is helping too. I will be fine. For a while.
Great, you get naked too then.
That's enough, Wolverine.
I'm trying to keep us alive, leader man.
We could always climb to the top of the volcano. That lava should provide some heat until the lassie gets back.
No, I will be away too long for that. You would be dead before I came back. No, gather around. I will warm you with the fires of the Phoenix and carry you as far as I can. Make sure you reach civilization and leave enough for my trip to the sun.
And so the Phoenix spreads its light around them all, carrying them upon its wings at faster speeds than the greatest scientists could even imagine. From Antarctica they travel, at first reaching Australia. But that will not do.
I cannot reach the professor. Either my powers have grown too weak or something is wrong. Either way, you have no money and no way of contacting him. I need to get you to the nearest place where we have a friend who can help.
A friend?
Well, an ally. Who might help.
Where?
Japan.
No, not him.
The Phoenix continues to fly, just barely able to reach Japan, before collapsing into its land.
Yeah.
Falling to her knees as from the wings of the Phoenix appears the X-Men all around her.
Where are we?
Osaka. You'll find Shiro here, assuming he hasn't moved since he helped us.
How will we find him?
I'm afraid that you will have to work out yourselves.
Jean stands, taking a stance to take off again, but relaxes as Scott walks to face her. She leans into an embrace.
I'll see you soon.
Count on it.
The two share a quick but passionate kiss before Scott takes a step back. Jean smiles, and then, looking upward, the Phoenix exploding from her, igniting. And, with deafening cries, she propels herself into the skies, gone in mere seconds. Cyclops watches after her for a moment before then turning back to the rest of the team.
All right. Let's go find our old friend Sunfire. Any ideas?
If we can find a phone book, I'd read Japanese.
Wolverine, you just made up for every snarky remark you've ever made. Come on.
And so, 2 hours later, at the lavish residence of Shiro Yoshida.
Whoa!
This is a very big house.
We live in a mansion?
Yes, but...
Cyclops steps forward, ringing the doorbell.
Hi.
We are friends of Mr. Yoshida. Is he here?
You have names?
The X-Men.
One moment, please. Matsuta Yoshida does not wish to see you. Thank you. Goodbye.
I think we should have been dropped off in Australia.
Scott sneers, reaching up and banging on the door with a closed fist.
Yes.
Tell him we don't need his help, we just need a place to...
Tell him that if he doesn't let us in, I will start carving up everything in front of me until he does.
The Yoshida servant steps back in shock and terror, before then being replaced by Shiro himself, dressed in a traditional kimono.
What do you want? I told your Xavier that I would not...
We just need a place to stay until we can contact home. That's all.
Silence as Shiro just stares at them for several long moments.
Fine. But you will behave yourselves and do as I say, especially you.
He points towards Wolverine. In the next few hours, the X-Men disperse around the huge house, bathing, eating, dressing in more discreet attire, having remembered the looks they were given on the long trek here. Now Scott stands with the house phone to his ear, attempting to ring home, and getting no answer.
No luck?
No. I've tried 10 times and I'm not even getting a signal.
Something's really wrong then. What could do that?
The only way I can think of it is if the entire mansion's power went out. But it's been almost 2 days.
I don't suppose he has a mobile. A cell phone.
Have you met him?
Yeah, fair enough. So, what now?
We hope Shiro is in a very good mood.
Well, he did let us through the door, didn't he?
Elsewhere in the house, Aurora emerges from her allocated room, dressed in a black and white kimono.
Aurora, you look...
amazing. Truly beautiful.
Thank you. The housekeeper said it belongs to Shiro's cousin. I was given permission to wear it. I see your image inducer is working perfectly, Kurt. Who are you today?
Tatsuya Fujiwara. Love his films.
I'm sure, but I think the idea is to avoid attracting attention to us.
Yes, but think of the freebies on the flight.
Ugh.
Won't you join us for dinner, Aurora?
Yes, why not? I wonder...
Wonder?
What Jean is feeling right now.
Meanwhile, outside in the grounds gardens, Wolverine sits staring up at the clear, starlit sky.
Hope you're all right up there, Jeannie.
Logan exhales, blowing out the smoke from his large cigar.
Shiro was saving that for business.
Logan looks down and over to the voice, finding a beautiful, dark-haired Japanese woman stood there in traditional attire.
The box didn't have a lock on it. I'm sure Wheels will pay him back for everything. So, who are you, the wife?
Mariko Yoshida. I am Shiro's cousin.
Yeah?
Wolverine takes another deep suck of the cigar.
I don't see the family resemblance. You live here?
Mariko shakes her head.
Just visiting.
Lucky me.
I should go. I do not wish to bother you.
No. You're not bothering me at all. In fact, you just made my night a whole lot brighter. Here.
Wolverine wipes down the surface beside him.
Sit down.
Thank you.
Mariko gives a polite nodding bow and then makes her way over to sit beside him on the stone plant wall.
So, you speak English well?
I do my best. I did not pass it at school.
Yeah, well, what do teachers know? You sound just fine to me.
Thank you.
Anata wa watashi ni kansha ijisuru hitsuyo wa arimasan.
You speak Japanese.
I get by.
Mariko smiles, Logan returning it. He then gestures with the cigar.
Is this stuff bothering you?
No, I am okay. Then, sorry, do you have a name?
Logan.
Logan.
Meanwhile, back at the Xavier Mansion...
So, can you fix it?
Yep.
Xavier looks down from his chair upon the beastly face of Hank McCoy, who pushes up a pair of black goggles from his yellow eyes.
But it will take time. Whatever that guy did to this thing, he did it well. You sure the team didn't take their phones?
No. They don't take their personal items with them on missions. You know that. We found a couple of things on the jet.
But they left that behind.
Hank shakes his head before ducking back down under the console, and getting back to work.
I could take my ship, search the area they were heading to.
Good idea. Thank you, Lilandra.
Charles, have you considered that they could be...
I will never accept that. I can't. Besides, I think I would know. Somehow.
With all her power, it is most strange that the Phoenix has not made contact.
It is indeed.
At that very moment, in the empty vastness of space, in the center of the dazzling orb that gives the Earth life, rests Phoenix. Jean's body curled up like a fetus in a womb.
It's working. I hope you're all right, my friends. I will be back as soon as I can.
And inside the Earth's new asteroid moon, a figure sits inside a newly constructed metal interior, upon a metal chair, inside the control room that gives the base its new life support systems. Even using his control over the magnetic forces of gravity to ground himself as though on Earth, the figure is, of course, Magneto, brooding upon his defeat.
I acted too rashly. I knew of Jean Grey's new form, and yet I still attacked. Without proper preparation. Without a plan. I will not be so rash the next time. For with this Phoenix on their side, not even an orbiting base will hide me. I need stealth technology. The usual source may provide some options.
Magneto reaches over, pressing a few buttons upon the console before him.
Pentagon Private Line 1963. Your code, please.
BH-1981-Beta.
Code accepted. Who can I connect you to today?
Raven Darkholm. Tell her it's Magnus.
The next morning in Osaka, the X-Men prepare to depart.
Thank you again for the loan, Shiro.
Just do not forget that it is a loan, Cyclops. One that I will see you repaid.
You'll get it. Promise.
Across the hall.
Will I see you again, Logan-san?
You can count on it, darling.
Wolverine! You have money. Now get out of my house. And stay away from my family.
See ya.
Wolverine nods towards her politely, then makes his way over to join the rest of his group.
What does Sunfire mean, Wolverine?
I'll explain it to you when you grow up, Petey.
Peter gives Logan a look of aggravation as the front door is opened, and the group head out to a waiting taxi. An hour later, the group find themselves in a Japanese airport, in search of a plane to take them home.
Looks like we just missed the direct flight to New York. There is one leaving in a couple of hours, but it has a layover in Canada.
Be a tad bit cheaper at the least.
When's the next direct one?
You have a problem with a layover?
A layover, no. In Canada, yes. I didn't exactly leave the place on the best terms. Betcha they won't even let me through customs.
It will be fine. I'm a famous Japanese actor, remember? I'll just tell them you're my bodyguard, and I will sue them for everything they have ever made unless they let you into the country.
Sure, whatever. But don't say I didn't warn you.
It will be great, Wolverine. A little return home before we head back to America. How I wish the layover was in Russia.
Or Germany.
Kurt turns his head towards the sounds of playful laughter, noticing a crowd gathering around him, the laughing girls in front of it being just the first to take pictures.
Did I not warn you of this?
Yep, still don't regret it. I bet you I can get us upgraded to first class.
First class?
Oh, Aurora, my dear. Welcome to civilization. Trust me, it's a good thing.
Well, we'll be flying in the luggage compartment unless we get a move on and buy the tickets. Which way is the desk?
The way with the arrow saying departures. In English, right under it, too.
All right, no one likes a smartass.
They board the plane without much fuss, other than Kurt trying to get upgraded, of course, and succeeding, if only for himself and one other. He chooses Aurora to show her how to live in style. the rest fly coach, touching down many hours later upon the tarmac of the Montreal-Quebec runway.
Ah, home sweet home.
The X-Men now make their way through arrival security.
Sir, are you sure you don't have anything else metal on you?
Yes, for the seventh time, it's a hip replacement.
And for the seventh time, sir, you are too young for a hip replacement.
It was a car wreck.
I'm sorry, sir. I'm going to have to ask you to come with me for a full search.
How about no?
Excuse me, sir. Do you know who I am?
No.
This is Tatsuya Fujiwara. How can you not know Tatsuya Fujiwara? He's the Tom Cruise of Japan.
I'm sure he is, but...
And if you do not let us pass, then you will have a lot of trouble on your hands.
That's right. Losing your job will be the least of it.
Japanese actor, huh?
That's right.
Then why do you sound German?
I am method acting for a upcoming film here in Canada.
With Germans in it?
Of course. Don't you know anything about the art of film? Let my bodyguard go, or I will make you wish you had never pretended to not know who I am.
And you will never fly first class again.
Right.
Look, just go. But I don't care who you are. You make trouble here again and...
We won't. Thank you.
Kurt dramatically puts on a pair of sunglasses, nodding towards Wolverine, who lowers his head, shaking it, and following the group, making sure to snarl at the guard as he passes him, the guard looking none too pleased about any of this himself.
Was that acting? How did I do?
Great, Aurora. Just great.
As the X-Men walk off towards the main entrance, a figure steps forward, attired in sunglasses and a black cap so as to hide himself, and looking on after the group, one of them in particular. He brings up a phone to his face and dials.
It's Hudson. Our tip from Japan was good. I have the target in sight. Weapon X is in Montreal. He'll be back at Alpha Base by dinner time.
X-Men Season 2, Episode 9, Stranded. Starring Omri Rose as Cyclops, Rex Anderson as Wolverine, Natalie Winter as the Phoenix, Mr. John as Banshee, Ryan Lawton as Nightcrawler, Tyree Peterside as Storm, Stephen Chesterton as Colossus and Beast, Daniel Earl as Magneto, Drew Kalen as Sunfire, Carol Nozick as Madigan, Jason Rivers as Charles Xavier, Emmy Gibson as Lalandra, Mr. John as the Servant, Peter Felix as the Government Worker, Steve Porter as the Airport Guard. Music written and composed by Declan Gilgallon. Written by Carl Dutton, adapted from the works of Chris Claremont and John Byrne. X-Men is a copyright of Marvel Entertainment. This is a fan production with no infringement intended. Next time, Wanted, Weapon X.